And our first speaker is Lana P. from Texas.
You knew. You just knew.
Hello, my name is Lana, and I'm an addict. I want to say hello to everybody. My home group is Jaywalkers in Houston, Texas. And my, but I'm always at the Midwest conventions. You guys hold the best conventions. Always. So, you know what I was thinking about when, what's your name? I'm sorry. When Dave put me in the basket, he was saying something about a few minutes of talking. And I always like to just kind of bring up my sobriety date is 125 of 97. I have 26 years sober. I always think about what made me stay. So what I was thinking about it, and it comes out of step 9. And it's no matter how far down the scale you have gone, you will see how your experience can benefit others. And that was the hope shot for me, because after that, all that incomprehensive, demoralizing living I had done, y'all told me no matter what happened, that I could benefit somebody else. And man, for me, it was like, you mean to tell me no matter how far down I've gone? You know, and they were like, yeah. And in these last 26 years, that has proven to be so true. You know, when you come in and you see the newcomer coming in and her head is down about everything about her, you know, I don't want to have to go into details about women, you know, that's on drugs, but, you know, it's a lot different from men. And so I understand that. And just the idea that I was able to recover, you know, wholeheartedly, I'm talking about mentally, bodily, and spiritually, due to the working of the steps, man. You know, these steps work. I also do a lot of service work, and I like sponsoring women. You know, I don't like them young women. I like them older ones, you know. Well, I can cuss and do everything else I want to do. They ain't so sensitive. You know, I'm like, all that. What you say that? What that mean? I'll be like, okay, so anyway, you know, I really do, you know, let even the older women, when they come in and let them know that, you know, no matter when you come, no, just have a willingness. That willingness is all you need. And a lot of times for me, that just really, really just have saved the day for me for these last 26 years. Thank you for letting me share. I need Monique M. from Michigan.
My name is Monique M. I'm from Flint, Michigan. My clean day is 2107. A way out. I came in here and I found a way out. I didn't believe it was a place for me to go. I went so far down and I was so, you know, did so many things that I wasn't proud of. So I didn't think it was a place for me to go. And I found recovery. And I've been here ever since. I love recovery. It has taught me a lot. I'm grateful for the people and the family that I'm around. I have a great sponsorship family, people I know that love me and I love them, because that was important to me, because I didn't feel like I had anybody on the outside. So when I got in here and I was willing and I was ready, they say when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So I'm grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share. All right.
Guaranteed foot issue.
Hello, I'm Karen T. I'm a cocaine addict.
Hey,
I didn't know when I said put my name in there that I was going to be up here. my sobriety date is 10-10-02. I'm very grateful for the Fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous and all the other A's. I'm a little shy, so I'm just going to say a little bit. I just want to welcome any new person to a better way of life. It can be if you want it. You never have to use again if you don't want to. There is a way out. Thank you.
Go Lions. I'm a drug addict. My name is Vicky.
Hey,
my sobriety date is September 12, 1991. I walked out the dope house that morning. It was a week later before I realized I left my dope on the table. That's when you know you have surrendered. I'm just what the book talked about, hopeless, helpless, didn't see no way out. I have been around, I had relapsed, but I haven't been around these meetings for 18 months, but I wasn't thoroughly convinced that you bunch of losers could show me something different. But you planted a seed, and that night, September 12th, the young man was looking on the floor. And he said he didn't know why he was looking on the floor. And I told me that he was powerless and his life was unmanageable. He looked at me and I realized I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to myself. I came in to the lady who is my sponsor still today. I have been here ever since. I didn't come in here. I think the lady was talking about she came in here because she realized she could give something away. Y'all told me it was a selfish program, and that's how I treat it even right now today. I do help. I know sometimes people get something out of what I say, but I'm still very selfish about my recovery. I don't care what y'all do. I'm in the B class. I'll be here when you get back. I done did a lot up in here, but I'm still sober. I practice these principles in all my affairs, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Sometimes the fire truck is following me with the hose because my ass is on fire, but I have not found it necessary to pick up. So I enjoy coming to conventions. These are my people. You are my people. I also have to tell you that my family has never once said to me, when you going to stop going to the meetings? If I get too crazy, my kids will say, you going to the meeting today? So that means that this shit is working, you know. So I'm just grateful to be here. I ain't going nowhere. Again, we'll see you Tri-State Convention. If you did come to Michigan, I want to see you in Ohio. We do this shit every year ourselves.
Omaha. Oh, yeah, right there. Come on, Earl.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Earl, a great recovering alcoholic and addict. My recovery date is March 24th, 1992. Just like my recovery, this presentation is unexpected. You know, those who know me understand that I hate addressing the whole crowd. And that's one reason, because they always say, "Speak up, Earl." But this is how I got here. When I got here, it was hard for me to even say my name. But today I can boast and tell you that I am Earl from Chicago. Man, I want to thank you all once again for inviting me to the presentation of Hope, Faith, and Courage. I've grown to know quite a few of you, and each time I come to a convention, that journey just continues to go further. From one end of the map to the other, and in some places on the other side of the world. If you got nothing better to do, do it here. I'm not going to stay long, because otherwise I'll hear snoring in the room. I want to thank you once again for inviting me, and I'll keep coming back. Francis S.
Great timing, Francis.
Yeah. Maybe you didn't hear me. I said Francis S.
Good evening, family. My name is Terry L. from Omaha, Nebraska. My sobriety date is February 7, 2007. You know, when I went into the center, I didn't go in there to get sober. I went there to get out of the cold. Thank God that there was a group they called H&I that came into the facility, and it was looking good. I was so small, if I turned sideways, y'all couldn't see me. You passed right by me. That's how thin I was. And they came in and started telling me their story. I'm like that one lady said, I got selfish, because they said, if we can do it, you can do it. And I picked it up. And what mostly I picked up was in step 3. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thou will be done. Not mine. You know, when I read that step, I had been in the center for about maybe 7 months. And then that what made me decide to join the group, because I had been out there for 30 years. I had been to all kind of treatment centers, but the key thing that I did not get the right sponsor was one that sat me down and took me through that big book. When he took me through the big book, my disease could no longer play on me anymore, because I knew what it was all about. Thanks for letting me share.
Gives you wings. Okay. My name is Michael. I'm a drug addict. So, I agree with a lot that's been said from people saying you came in here and you thought, what can I offer when I can't even offer myself anything, right? And that's how it was. And I got, let's back up a little bit. My sobriety date is July 12, 2006. You know, I had spent my whole life taking. I took everything. If you had it and I wanted it, I took it. And that's kind of how I lived my whole life, up until when I came in these rooms. And I laugh because when I got here, I was like Stuart from Mad TV. Look what I can do. That was service work, right? And I was doing like a shit ton of it. And my sponsor is like, I need you to write down everything you're doing. I'm like, why? I know what they are. He goes, no, I want to see it on paper. And so I wrote everything down. And it was like 17 things. And he's like laughing at me. He's like, dude, that's way too much. Because if you're doing all this for the fellowship, you ain't doing a damn thing for yourself. And in my head, though, I'm like, all I've been doing my whole life is what I wanted. So it seemed only fitting that I come here and, you know, do, you know, for other people. And I understood what he was saying, because I really wasn't working on shit, you know, for a while. And, you know, I started letting the service commitments end, but not pick a new one up. And started working the steps. And Mike B. was that sponsor. Some of you guys remember Mike. Passed away in 2012. You know, he pretty much changed my life with, you know, the way we went through the steps. And everything I did, like, as time went on with service, you know, became like an alternate delegate. And I didn't really focus on traditions. And he's like, I've never done traditions. I'm like, well, you're going to start now. And we did them together. And the same with the concepts. And, you know, that whole experience and working with him, I still feel like a loss from him, big time. And to go from where I was growing up, and even up to like 36, to see the changes later on, like, as they're happening, I didn't see nothing. It was people around me that were seeing the changes happening. And I don't know if they take that for everyone, but looking back, and now I can see the difference, right? But as they're happening, I saw no changing. But this stuff works, man. It's like real. If you're new, and who was it said, you know, you losers, I don't believe it, you know. I thought that same thing. No way you went 5 years without using. This shit works, man. Stick around and give it a chance. You know, the thing that really stuck in my head when I had that, you know, kind of shit attitude was give it a year. If it don't work, you can have your misery back. And that stuck in my head, you know. I can do it a year, you know. And in my head, I was going to give the misery, you know, get my misery back. But instead, I'm still here. And I didn't think it was where I was going to be. This wasn't the way I thought my life would be. And it's so much better than I ever could have done for myself without you people and without God. Because prior to coming in here, I had a concept of a higher power, but I did not believe I was worth that higher power's time. And as I'm here over time, you know, you find out that, you know, you keep putting one foot in front of the other, and no matter what, it gets better. You never have to use again. I heard that tonight, and I totally believe that. If you're thinking that, you do not. The answers are here. You know, I wish I was more profound for you all. I just know that this fellowship did save my life. And if you're struggling, whether you're new or been around a while, I hope it saves yours too.
Hi, I'm Jim, and I'm an addict alcoholic. My sobriety date is April 15th, 1986. And for that, I am eternally grateful. Let me tell you, I started using really young, and by the time I got sober, I was 29 years old. And living under a bridge. You know, people talked about it, the things that we do. I was kidding around earlier about waking up in a hotel room with a prostitute going, how the hell did I end up here? You know, that's the kind of shit that I did. And I was married and never spent more than 3 months with my wife. I was always leaving and doing what I wanted to do. And April 15th, I was on a bridge in Milwaukee. I was sleeping under that bridge at the time. And I decided it was time to kill myself because I couldn't stand who I was anymore. I'd been through treatment centers and detoxes and, you know, strapped down to a bed in a straitjacket and all that kind of shit. And I really felt hopeless and helpless. And, you know, a thought was put in my head. And what happened was I had been going to these meetings for a long time, and I was going to these AA meetings, and there was an old guy there, and his name was Lenny. And Lenny had one glass eye, so I never knew how to look at him. But every time I saw him, he told me a joke. And he never picked on me. Everybody else picked on me because I was always relapsing. How long are you going to stay around? You know, when are you ever going to quit? And he didn't do that. He'd put his arm around me, and he'd always tell me, one day, kid, you're going to figure out that alcohol and drugs are your problem, and everything's going to be all right. So I'm standing on his bridge, and I don't have a... like a higher power belief. I didn't have anything like that. And I'm looking at County Stadium, which is torn down now. But I'm standing on this bridge, and I made up my mind, this is it, I'm jumping off this fucking bridge. And I had a complete sense of relief, like this is the best thing I can do for everybody in my life that I've ruined. And honest to God, I could see Lenny's face in the sky in front of me, and I could feel his breath on my neck, and I could hear his voice in my ear. And it said, everything is going to be all right. Now you know that alcohol is your problem. In that moment, for the first time in my life, I accepted responsibility for everything I had done. Up to that point, I was always blaming somebody. It was always my dad was a drunk, you know, or the guy in the Navy picked on me, or, you know, my boss was an asshole. And I stood there going, holy shit, if I just quit using, everything would be all right. And I walked off that bridge with a firm commitment that I was going to quit no matter what it took. And I went, and I ended up in a halfway house for homeless guys. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, my mom had a restraining order against me. My family wouldn't talk to me. My ex-wife wouldn't talk to me. I couldn't see my kid. And for 6 months, all I did was thinking about how I could, you know, get this thing. And what I did is I didn't care anymore about trying to impress anybody. I came to the realization I was a very immature, very scared little kid in a grown-up body, and that I was going to try and grasp on to everything. And I can tell you, I've met so many mentors over the years that have taught me so much about life and how to change and going through the steps over and over. And to this day, what I do is I look for ways that I can give back. And I can tell you this, that everybody doesn't give back in the same way. I figured that out. I've tried doing things that other people told me I should do. And over time, I learned that there was places that I fit in, and I could do things for others. And it's just totally changed my life. I'm really grateful to be here.
What's up, family? Midwest do it best. Right. You all are my family, you know. I look forward in coming and fellowshipping with my family. You know, first of all, my sobriety date is October 7, 1996. You know, I recall sitting on my mother's in the living room, you know, coming off another run. She let a pole boy on in the house again, you know, broke, disgusted, couldn't be trusted. And she was having a phone call with some family members. And she was calling St. Louis. I'm in Nebraska. Nebraska in the house? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. We showed up. And my mom was talking with some relatives. I think it was her sister, and she was, you know, going through the family, you know, kind of giving a checkup on how the siblings doing, and she got to going through the list. How's Diane doing? Oh, she's going to college. She's doing this. How's... When it came to my name, all I heard was a big old sigh, and it went something like this. Well, he just got out the penitentiary. Well, yeah, he's not taking care of his kids. Right then and there, I knew I did not, what I had became to my family was an explanation. My mother began to explain me away. And I decided, not the counselor, not the parole officer, not my wife, not my kids, I decided I didn't want to be anybody's explanation anymore. But I had no clue on how I was going to get that done. So when I walked into Cocaine Anonymous for the first time, there was something magical about listening to you all share your experience, strength, and hope. You know, when you go somewhere and you feel at home, you know, when I return to St. Louis, when I in Cocaine Mountain, I go to Chicago, I go to wherever I go, I feel like home in this fellowship. And that first day, I felt at home. And I knew this is where I needed to be. When the man that I was attracted to shared with me his experience, he had his interview was real short. It went something like this: "Are you done yet? Are you done yet?" He made it very clear to me that this was no game. This was about life and death, and that this disease was about subtraction and addition. And I had to make a decision. And I decided to take a risk and give Cocaine Anonymous a chance. To this day, you guys has continued to light my candle. When I got here, I had a duffel bag with all my worldly belongings in it. Today, I got a dog, I own a house, I got a business, I got friends. Well, who does that? Right? I'm eternally grateful being here. So when anyone, anywhere reaches out for the hand of Cocaine Anonymous, that I am responsible for. I'm just glad to be here. Please stop.
Good afternoon. My name is Roland B.
Hey, Roland.
I got sobriety date is 12/2/85. That when I got here back in 85, my sister and brother brought me to the fellowship to the Insight. And they stepped off the elevator and they told the lady that I had a problem and they stepped back on. I was left standing there looking like a lost puppy. And I stayed for the 28 days. It's one thing that I heard them say that I have never forget also was the fact that my brother-in-law need to stop letting me come to his home to live. So during the process of 28 days of my brother-in-law going to treat me with me, that last week in the didactic, he leaned over and he told me, he said, on Tuesdays, Handel brother had boxes in the back. So when you get out, you need to go there and get you some boxes and get your shit. And I'm going to do what they suggested. From then to now, I have never been homeless since. I come in, I did the suggestions, and made meetings on a regular basis. I bullshitted, but I followed directions. And I've been able to function and to be able to have, I heard that guy say he had a dog, a house, and all that. I got all that. And I do everything I can possible to hold on to that, simply because I come to meetings, I ask questions, I follow directions, and I enjoy this life. The life I live today is the life that you people have given me. And to show my appreciation for that, I help others that come behind me to show them how this program works by me staying sober. Between no matter what happened, I stay sober, stay positive, and I believe in a higher power greater than myself. Thank you.
My name is Ellen. I'm a cocaine addict. Hi. And my sobriety date is December 10th, 1995. And some people call me L Bell, but that's my fake name for Cocaine Anonymous. That is Ellen Ulig. I'm from Seward, Nebraska, originally, now Kansas City, Missouri, home of the Chiefs. The name of my home group is Working With Others. And what that means is they took the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous very seriously. And when I looked up here and I saw a way out, I had to pull up the big book on my phone. It says, the tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I'm so grateful for the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm grateful that people introduced me to that big book. You know, I was sitting looking around the room, and I was thinking, I've been friends, not just acquaintances, but friends with a whole bunch of people in this room. I'm sitting next to Jeanette. I'm like, we've been friends for 28, 29 years, you know. And that table right there, they got Omaha represented. And then there's Calvin and Johnny, you know. And I was sitting in a treatment center, and it was Calvin, Darlene, Johnny, Mabel, Pearl, Turner that carried the message to me back in 1994. You know, and when I went to that treatment center, I had, right before I went in, I had two different treatment centers I was looking at. And people kept telling me, you need to go to this one over in this good county over here. And I was like, no, I'm going over here. And I don't know what led me there, but I often think, if I hadn't have gone there, would I even be a member of Cocaine Anonymous? You know, but there were three fellowships that carried the message up there. And there is something about Cocaine Anonymous, and it's still true today. There's something about the fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous. There's an electricity in here. You know, and we were talking in the room earlier, you know, we have been through some stuff. I can't tell you how many guns I've had at my head, knives at my throat. You know, and I'm standing up here today. I never thought I'd be growing old in Cocaine Anonymous, but it is such a blessing. And I'm glad, you know, they had these dinosaur meetings, and a lot of times they'll have them at midnight or something. It's good to be in a dinosaur meeting at 7 o'clock. So I want to say welcome to anybody new here. It's good to see old friends and new. I love you, and thank you for letting me share.
By the grace of God, the fellowship of cocaine announced by being clean August 27, 1999. And when I got here, I didn't believe it was a way out. Because, see, I was still stuck like Chuck. But I'm so grateful for sponsorship, someone who had a working knowledge of the process of recovery. They say it's kind of hard to transmit an active message of recovery if you don't have it yourself. So I sit down with someone where the work has been done. See, I got to discover my truth, that I'm a real addict and alcoholic. See, I didn't know that at the beginning. I just thought, wait, man, you know, I'm just doomed. I'm just going to be like this no matter what, you know. So I kept coming. My sponsor got me involved, gave me service work, and I'm looking, well, why am I doing it? I'm setting chairs up for, why am I pouring coffee? Man, they can do that themselves. See, I couldn't see he was trying to help me build some self-esteem and self-worth. See, I didn't have a clue. And then when I started to work the process, something started to happen in my life. See, I stopped that little petty stealing I was doing because I'm a klepto too, you know. I hear elevated music and something happened to me, man. You know, I won't stick some shit in my pants and, my stomach started flipping. I'm a real dope fiend, you know what I'm saying? So I'm so grateful, man, for the Fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous, man. But I keep getting here, man. You know, I'm going to tell y'all the truth. I really didn't want to stop. I just want to learn how to slow down and stop geeking all my shit out. Pining my car, getting rid of my coats, and selling your shit. And my, you know, and at the end of the night, we both looking at each other. You know, I know you got a good ideal. Well, the greatest ideal I have today is to keep coming to this fellowship because it gave me a life. You know, I say this, I've been on my job 25 years. And the only other thing I did longer than that was drugs. I laugh off. My higher power got a sense of humor. They made me in charge of the money. I said, you know, the people taking that shit out the back door, that was me. That's why I know what they're doing. You know, but this fellowship, man, it really gave me a life. You know, today I'm a better person as a direct result of this here, man. You know, and I look around the room and say we was a group of people who weren't ordinarily mixed. You know, and I'm so grateful for that, man. See, I come in here thinking I'm so unique and I'm so different, man. I got to be looking for my similarity. That stuff is real talk, man. So I'm so grateful. I'm excited about being here, man. I'm excited about coming to a convention all the time. And I got some friends, they say this to me. Hey, man, you still going to them things? I say, you want to go? Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Carolyn. I'm an addict.
My sobriety date is January 31st, 1994. All right. Well, I've been hearing a lot of interesting topics tonight. But for me, CA has changed my life to make me a better person, the person who I am today. You all told me I had to let it go, and I didn't want to let it go. I wanted to do it my way. And my way meant it had to be my way. I remember when I came into treatment the last time around, we was on a small band. Want to do things my way. Me and a couple of girls, we went up in the room, we smoking. Somebody put the cigarette out on the floor. We all got in trouble. Mind you, at that time I was on the DCFS, had a DCFS case, and I got put out of that facility. But before I got put out of that facility, I asked the lady that came out for H&I, would she be my sponsor? And she shared with me, she told me, she said, well, I'll tell you what, you got a big book? I said, no, but I'll get one. I got that big book. She told me to read Doctor's Opinion. I read Doctor's Opinion, be honest, 6 times before she told me to get a pen and paper and start working. And through that sponsor, she encouraged me to be the person that I am. When I got put out of that facility, first thing went through my mind was, man, what DCFS going to say? Man, I'm going to get put out. I'm going to get my kid back. Woo, 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 woo. But this is what I want to do. I wanted to smoke, and they said no smoking. So the sponsor, when I told her about it, she told me where to go to for a meeting. And I went to that meeting. It was down in a basement. I'm looking around. I don't know nobody. Everybody laughing, cracking jokes, ha, ha, ha. Not me. I sat back there in the back in that corner. And I sat back there for so long, and then I started itching forward into that light, out of that darkness. And I kept on inching forward into the light. And then when I did get into that bright light, that's when I was told, time for you to do some service work. And through this program, I've done service work. I've been doing service work since, all my years. And I still enjoy doing service work because it was from you all, through you all in this program that taught me how to live, how to be the person that I am, how to be a mother, how to be a wife, how to be a grandma, and how to be a productive member in society. And I just want to thank you all for being here. Diane, I love you and always will. Thanks. Let me share.
My name is Robert, and I'm an addict. You know, through the grace of God, my sobriety day is July the 1st of 2001, and I'm truly, truly grateful. You know what? See, it ain't July the 1st of 2001 that I remember. It's June the 30th of 2001 that I remember. The incomprehensible demoralization that I felt. Man, I was a poor excuse for a son, a poor excuse for a grandson, a poor excuse for a person who just existed. You know, but somebody made me make a promise, you know, that if I had something that was bothering me, that I'd go get some help. And when I went to treatment, I didn't go to treatment. The jailhouse sent me to treatment. And when I come out of treatment, you know what, because I had a court case, I heard a man say, it ain't how you get here, it's what you do while you're here. You know, when he said that, I'm like, I got this sponsor, and, you know, I thank God for Cocaine Anonymous, because my sponsor, he was he was an asshole. I couldn't stand him. But I know I needed him, because he suggests that I read the doctor's opinion. I went home Saturday and read the doctor's opinion. He said, we're going to meet next week. I meet with him next week. He asked me a question. He said, Robert, what Dr. Silkworth work at? I said, New York. He said, man, quit playing fucking games with me. I ain't got time to play no games with you. Either you want this shit or you don't. I said, I read the book. He said, when you read it? I said, I read it Saturday. When you told me to read it, I went home and read it. He said, so you didn't study the book? I said, no. I said, give me a chance, though. I said, give me a chance. Give me a chance to read it this week. I read it every day. When I met with him that next week, he asked me where Dr. Silk work at? Prominent Hospital. Known for drug and alcohol addiction. You know what I'm saying? And not only did I realize that I read that, see, I read that I made many resolutions and never a decision. I kept making so many, I was lying to myself so much that I didn't even know I was lying. I was believing a lot every time I said it. And when until I came here and I made a decision, because see, a resolution, you know, some of y'all around Omaha know I've been making a resolution to lose weight. Y'all seen me walk my ass up here. Y'all seen me walk up here. You know what I'm saying? I don't keep down resolution even to today. But I keep a decision, though. I made a decision that I was going to get sober and stay sober one day at a time. And you know when I made it? I was 6 months sober, and I told that judge, I said, one day at a time, I'm going to stay sober for the rest of my life. Because I committed to something. But I commit to doing the work in the book. It ain't no, I ain't get this way by osmosis. You know, my sponsor, I tell y'all right now, what my sponsor said anyway. Make sure he ain't in here. I still don't like his ass. But I love him though. You know what I'm saying? I love him because he still tell me things to, we just met last week. If y'all don't believe me, when you see him, ask him. I still meet with him at least once or twice a month because I'm not cured. You know what I'm saying? I'm a sick person constantly working on getting well. And how I keep getting well? I keep doing what's working for me. You know, if you don't think it's a way out, I promise you, working steps, applying principles, and finding God of my own understanding, man, man, man. Y'all talk about the things y'all got. The best thing I got, and I'm going to say this in close, is my God in me. You know what I'm saying? That's the best thing I got when I got back here. You know what I'm saying? I lost me. And I lost a power greater than myself. Now I got those things back, man. Erickson used to say, this guy used to say this. He said, when I got sober, everything in my life became first class. Shit, I got a wife that I don't deserve. You know what I'm saying? She probably can't stand my black ass 95% of the time. You know what I'm saying? But she loved me all the time. You know, and that's things like that that I got to be grateful for. I got to keep staying humble and do what's right in front of me. Thank y'all for allowing me to share.
My name is Eric, and I'm an addict. I'm from Dallas/Omaha, okay? my journey started, you know, a long time ago when I've been working since I was 12 years old. That's the only thing that I've ever done longer than using. But I always realized I never had a problem getting shit. I had a problem keeping it. You know what I mean? And it was like, this is going too far. And I said, I know what my problem is. I just need to get the hell out of Dallas because I can't get around. I can't get away from these people. You know what I'm saying? So I get to Omaha, right? I ain't used nothing for 90 days. Just got a job, making good money. Then got the car back, got the girl back, kids saying, I love you again. I got all this shit. So I got it going on now. I'm back. I knew you could bounce back. Then that thought came. Hold on, man. Oh, I ain't going to get no dope. I'm just going to get a six-pack. Shit, I can handle the drinking. Shit, I got halfway through that first beer. I'm driving down the street. Old boy go over there, he give me that international head nod. I gave back to him.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
I'm making a U-turn. You know what I'm saying? Man, in 3 days of that first hit, after 90 days, I ain't touched nothing. I was so baffled and confused about what, and I suffered another 7 years before I could get the help. Now, it was, I don't know about y'all, but when you go home and tell that lie, it's got to be better than the last one you told. You know what I'm saying? This time, I couldn't think of nothing, man, and it was just, it ripped me, and I know people done dealt with some terrible things in life. I had to pull over, man, because the tears started to flow. How in the hell can you let this little white substance control the way you think, the way you act, what you do? And I didn't know what to do. And for the first time in a long time, I got home and told my family, man, I need help. Because they had been telling me, Eric, you need help. Eric, you need help. Now, only help I need is y'all need to get out of my damn business and leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? But finally, and I went to treatment, and that's when I came in contact with Cocaine Anonymous. They saved my life. They told my story. I was thinking they could call my mama. My mama done told them people, you know. And because I could relate from the very start. You know what I'm saying? And so when I came out and I got a sponsor with working knowledge of this program. I didn't get him because I liked him or because we was cool, but I saw he came out the book and he came with a solution. And he told his spirit, strength, and hope, but it came with the solution from the book. And so what I finally realized was, like you talked about in Dr. opinion, Robert, you brought it up, I wasn't using to chill and parlay and relax. I was using to satisfy a craving beyond my mental control. And let that be the case, only, I like that word, only an act of providence can remove it. Then y'all introduced me to this spiritual program of action. Eric, this shit ain't about just staying sober, bro. You got to goddamn live this shit. You know what I'm saying? I love H&I, man. I've been doing H&I since I've been sober. I was probably 9 months clean. They say, man, you're going to get up and do this. And I'm like, well, whatever. Before I knew it, I was on every damn committee wearing totally different hats, trying to do everything. Matter of fact, I was hiding from life because I was in the rooms doing all I could to stay sober. You know what I'm saying? I love the fact that I was sober. I can now get shit and keep shit. I can go through death and recover. I can go through divorce and recover. I can go through bad health and recover. I can go through all these things in recovery. Right? There's nothing on this earth, man, that ain't under God's feet. As long as I stay plugged into God and practice. Because, you know, the fourth step says what? It's not until I overcome the spiritual malady I straighten out mentally and physically. See? Only way y'all going to move me off my square is if I let y'all. You feel me? Man, I love this program, bro. So I love our readings. It says the more time we spend trying to bring quality in the lives of others, the less I'm into myself and my will. Because the only time I have a hard time in life today is when I break out in that rash of self-will. So thank God, man, for the fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous. Ain't nothing else like it. Thank y'all.
Hello, everybody. My name is Quinn. I'm an addict. My sobriety date is December 8th, 1991. So I just recently spoke at one of our area events, and I usually end with a story, and I didn't. So I'm going to end with that story this time. It was a Friday night several years ago. My wife and I were at our daughter's softball game. And I get a phone call. And it's a lady, that a wife of a member, and she says that her husband's in the bar drinking. Can I help him? I said, okay. She told me where it is. I know where the bar is. And I called my buddy Jeff, who I knew would be at the Friday night meeting. He's not there tonight. He's here. And the phone rang, and I called him, and he didn't answer. And I called him right back. And I knew from the time it was that the meeting was going on. And he answered. I told him, so-and-so called, and Dan is in a bar, and she wants us to help him. So we met just outside the bar, and we said, we're going to go in, but it's going to be a real short conversation. You're either coming with us or we're leaving. And we walk in. He's at the bar, got his cigarettes there, got money out. You know, and he's just looking in the drink, and he can just see the despair. He didn't realize there was a way out. There's no way. There's no doubt. And we said, you coming with us? And he thought for a second. And he said, yeah. Got him out. Went to McDonald's. Got some coffee. And he went by Jeff's house for the weekend. And Jeff worked the steps with him. Yep. And the reason why I say this is we do need dinosaurs. Although we only have today, we need people that have continuous sobriety. So when, like Willie said, I am responsible. When that phone call comes, we know what to do. I wasn't going there by myself. No way in hell. Nope. I'm going to call somebody else. So we are responsible, and there is a way out. God bless you.
Good evening, family. I'm Kelly R., and I'm from Akron, Ohio. Not just Ohio. I'm from where it started. My sobriety date is June the 25th of 2002. And I like what the gentleman said before, they have to have dinosaurs around here. I don't even know where to start. It's like, when I think about Cocaine Anonymous and what it gave to me and giving me my life back, it's a lot, you know. I know Terry, I know Debbie, everybody, all the people they call. You know, I was talking to a guy earlier, I was like, well, Terry, when I went to treatment, he was the RS there. And when I went to treatment, I thought I was different, you know, because I still had a car. Even though it had three windows, I had a car, you know. And I wasn't court ordered, really. But I knew that if I didn't go, I was going to the prison. You know, I got my first, you know, felony. I've been in the medical field all my life. And, you know, I was looking at a lot of time. You know, when I do things, I do them big, just like I was using big. When I commit crime, I do that big, too. And I say that because I went to treatment saying I wasn't forced to go to treatment because they didn't handcuff me and take me to treatment. But if I didn't go to treatment, I could go do the 8 years. So anyway, I meet Terry over there, and I got this attitude about first of all, I got to ask people to come and get me for a meeting. I got a car at home. And I really, really struggled with asking for help when I first got there. That was really hard for me, and I got rejected a lot. I'm a type A. I have a very strong personality. And people would say no all the time. And I had an issue with that. Like, you know, but Terry called Debbie. Debbie came and got me in the green CA van and took me to a CA meeting. Now, I will say that the first meeting I went to, I had an issue with it because I came in no longer spiritually fit. I did not come in to a program with a God of my understanding and the God that I was raised with, but I was mad. And then somebody stood behind the podium and they were talking about their God and identifying him. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go see this judge go do this 8 years because I was new, you know. And I say that, you know, this program has given me so much. Not only do I have my own God of understanding, you know, that probation officer I had, she wrote a character letter for me in order for me to get a license. I work in this field. I work for a good hospital. I am the face. I mean, that was crazy for me. Like, I'm the face of the drug and alcohol program. I work directly with the courts. That's crazy for me. Cocaine Anonymous service work, because I did a lot of it. You know, my second job, I'm an organizational director at a reentry program. I work with felons all day. I love what I do. All of that stuff all started with sucking in sober air, taking some suggestions, you know, asking for help, being forced to be asked for help in treatment, you know, and Cocaine Anonymous has always been my family. It's been, you know, everything to me. I say that, you know, I have stepped away for a little bit, but I never, funny story, I'm working out to jail. My home group, my original home group, Stairway to Serenity, Tuesday, these dudes got me busy. I wasn't even out of treatment a week. They made me make coffee, and I stayed sober another 30 days. Those guys got the newcomers busy. You know, I see a lot of that going away in my city where they don't want to do that. You got all the time. You got to hog the room. It's got to stop. I say that to say, so Terry comes over to the jail. I'm at the jail. He comes with the home group book. He tosses it on my desk. He said, they lost their space. What you going to do about it? I said, well, let's call the director. Let's get you a space. So that meeting went in the jail and was an open meeting at the jail. And then, you know, with COVID, it closed down, and I just reopened that. My home group is Stairway to Serenity Tuesday because the dudes that opened it, the two Eddies, they not there no more. One of them passed away. You know, I kept the same name, kept the same format, and I do the newcomers the same way. I don't care if they've been out a week. I need you here next week so you can make the coffee. You know, they can read the meeting thing, you know. They can do that. And it just bothers me, you know. But anyway, like I said, is that it's a privilege and honor to be standing up here and talking in front of y'all. This stuff really does work. Like I said, June the 25th, 2002, I have not found it necessary to put any mood mind-altering chemical in my body. And with that, I'm going to be quiet.
Hi, guys. I'm Leslie. I'm an addict. You know, I came to the rooms of Cocaine Anonymous for one reason, and that was to make the pain stop. I just couldn't stop using, no matter how badly I wanted to. I just couldn't stop. And I'm going to tell you some of the things you guys gave me. You gave me hope. You loved me. I have integrity in my life today, honesty, trust, friends. Like, my life is so full of these beautiful things you guys have given me. And all I came for was just to make the pain stop. My sobriety date's December 18th, 2002. I'm knocking on the door of 21 years. I came to these rooms really early. I got sober the first time in 1981. Cocaine Anonymous hadn't started yet, so I went to AA and I went to NA. And, NA didn't want to hear about my alcoholism. AA didn't want to hear about my drug addiction. And they're big fellowships. You know, there's huge meetings. I'm from San Diego, from Southern California. And you can get lost in those rooms. And that's exactly what I did, is I just got lost. I stayed on the outside. And slowly, you know, that obsession of the mind came back. And at 14 and a half years sober, I picked up a drink. And one of the things I said is, you know what? Well, I have 14 years, right? Like, if this doesn't work, I'll just come back to the rooms. And, you know, completely not understanding the powerlessness that I'm going to trigger with taking that first drink. And I took that drink, and I thought, well, with just a line of Coke, one or two, just a bump-de-bump, you know, to kind of get things going. And I added the drugs in, and it was 8.5 years before I crawled back into these rooms. And today I'm grateful for every shitty, awful, horrible thing that happened in those 8.5 years, because they were the things that allowed me to come back and stay, that allowed me to come back and surrender. So I came back to the rooms, and I started going to AA, and I started going to NA. And a friend of mine said, hey, you know, have you tried CA? And I went, this is in San Diego. Now I'm from San Diego originally. And I said, are they meeting in that trailer still? Is that those crack addicts? And he said, no, they're in a church now. Why don't you check them out? And I thought, okay, I'm going to go check out this Cocaine Anonymous. I did love me a lot, big bag of cocaine. And so I walked into that room. It's a big room. There were about 70 people in there. And they started the readings. And I heard my story in those readings, and I knew immediately I was at home, and I knew I would do anything and everything you said to do. I had made exceptions for myself that first time around. I didn't do shit. You know, I really didn't. I just kind of was a part of. I didn't work the steps. I didn't get a sponsor. And of course, I didn't get those wonderful rewards. I had no idea the power that I was going to find in those steps, because I never worked them. You know, and I got a sponsor, and I worked those steps, and I changed. You know, and you set this example for me of what recovery looked like. And because you had those beautiful things you in your life, love and friendship and integrity and being trustworthy and being able to look in the mirror again, I couldn't look anymore when I came back to these rooms. And I knew you guys used like I used. I knew you guys had been where I'd been, but you weren't there anymore. And so you gave me that hope, you know, that faith and the courage to want to be like you. And you know, I will never leave the rooms of Cocaine Anonymous one day at a time for the rest of my fucking life because of what you guys have given me. I am forever grateful. I've been here in the... You just wave if I'm talking too long. I've been in the Midwest for... 3.5 years, a little over 3.5 years. And you guys have loved me, given me a home. They even elected me as a delegate. And I mean, who thought of that? I came just to make the pain stop. I'm a delegate for Cocaine Anonymous. I'm a trusted servant. I couldn't even think of those things. I didn't even know to want those things when I got here. And if you're new, you can come back from anything. My relapse made me stronger. It allows me to stay, you know, and sponsorship's been talked about. I stand here as the product of really strong sponsorship. I would not have made it on my own if someone hadn't have put their hand out and said, let me show you how to do this. You know, you guys have loved me until I can love myself, and I am forever grateful to you. I love you.
Let's see if I can keep from passing out. Hi, I'm Laurie. I'm an alcoholic and addict. Wow. Okay, so I had all this great stuff I'd say. I'm up here. I'm not going to say nothing. No, so I was told to put my name in this basket and that I had to tell you my story in 10 minutes. I had to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. What it was like, it sucked large. What happened? I got caught. What is my life like now? I'm living the dream. So, anyway, I'm actually going to be doing a lot of plugging for H&I. I would like to challenge all of you guys from all areas to step up and help out H&I in your areas. Because without H&I, we have nothing. I've been doing H&I now for a little bit, and I tell you what, it has done the most for my recovery than anything else. I get to give a part of myself. At first, I didn't think I had anything to say or give, or I was worried about saying this or that because people would judge me. And then it was finally like, wait a minute, this is my story. This is what happened, and this is my story now, and this is what I can teach you now, or this is what I can help you with. If you don't have a big book, if you don't work the steps, if you don't get a sponsor, if you don't do the footwork, you will not be sober. And us as addicts like to complicate the crap out of everything, and there's really no reason. It's not hard to read the book. You might not understand it, but then that's why you get a sponsor, because that sponsor can help you understand that book. They are really good at pointing out your defects of character for you. And, I did not know I was selfish and self-centered. I really didn't. I thought it was all y'all, not me. But, she said to me, "Who died and made you God?" Well, how dare her. That was pretty rude, I thought. Anyway, love you, Carmen. Somebody said it tonight, a love-hate relationship. Yeah, I have one of those with her. And when I first came into the rooms, one of the reasons I did stop going to CA is because she was really a bitch, this woman. And then when I came back into the room, I was like, I asked her to be my sponsor. And I've had a really bad tragedy in my life, and if I had been, I don't know, I shouldn't say that. I was sober for a while, and I came home one day, and I found my 14-year-old daughter had died. She had taken a gun and shot herself, and I was not connected as I am today, and so I did not remain sober. But knowing what I know today, you can get through something as devastating as that if you surround yourself with winners, if you surround yourself with people who work the steps, people who sponsor, if you reach out to other people, you can make it through something that devastating without having to go back out there. Relapse does not have to be a part of your story. It is a part of mine. It doesn't have to be a part of yours. But you got to put in the legwork, period. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. So that's pretty much it. Thanks.
I'm the bitch. I'm Carmen Crone. I'm a drug addict and alcoholic. My sobriety date is 11-1 of 89. And even after 34 years, it still blows me away that I'm sober. Never thought that it would happen. Actually, I went into treatment not even wanting to stay sober. I heard somebody else say today that they went in because it was cold, and that's exactly why I went in. And it wasn't until 5 days later that I decided I was going to try this program. It's when I saw the big book of alcoholics sitting on the tray, you know, that they have in the hospital rooms, and I decided to pick it up, and I just happened to open it up to chapter 5, How It Works. And I started reading it and decided I was going to give it a shot, that I could always have my misery back if I wanted to. But I was going to do what you guys were telling me to do. And I actually got sober in Ohio, Toledo, Ohio. And then I came back to Wisconsin. They shipped me back here to be with my children, who my parents had come and taken away from me before I went into treatment. Because we were living in a home that had somebody else's home. I don't know whose it was. But it had no heat, no electricity, no running water. And I thought it was normal. That's what this disease does to the mind. I thought this was okay. Saving my quarters just to be able to feed my children. So my parents came and took my kids away and left me out there. And she says that's what I told her to do. And I probably did. Because I didn't think I had a problem. So I came back to Wisconsin, and in Wisconsin at that time, there were not a lot of women in CA. So I had to hold on to that big book, because all my answers were in there. I didn't have a lot of guidance at the time. The one who was in treatment with me left me all alone. She's here tonight, though. But I didn't have a lot of guidance, so I had to depend on the big book, and thank goodness I did. My answers were all in there. It gave me all the answers to anything that I ever needed in my life then and to this day today. My home group is the big book study on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And I treasure that meeting. It helps me learn more, even though I'm on like my third big book that's been destroyed. I've read it numerous, numerous times, but I still keep learning. There's still something. It's like, how did I miss this before? You know, the answers come when you're ready, right? Sometimes the people that I sponsor, they say, do I really have to do that? My answer is, how free do you want to be? Right? The more I do, the more I listen to what you guys tell me to do, the more I open up, the more I give back, the freer I become. I never imagined my life today, and I never thought it could be this good. Thank goodness my higher power is in charge, because my life is 1,000 times better today than what anything I could have thought of. So I'm grateful you guys are all here. I hope you enjoy the convention this weekend. There's been a lot of work that went into this, and we're here. If you need anything, just let us know. And with that, I'm passed. Thanks.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Lee Warner. I'm a recovering addict. I'm an alcoholic. I am grateful and I'm honored to be in the greater Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Midwest Regional. It is absolutely amazing to look out and see the sea of people. It just shows you that recovery is alive and well. So thank you for being here, and thank you for whoever had the little asket basket going around, and finally you get to the last little straw, and here I come up here and give you 2 minutes to say thank you for who you are and what you believe in and what you do. Listen, I'm a cat that believe in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank God those little dudes got together in California in 1982, and they came up with a little plan for Cocaine Anonymous, and granted us the basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous, so we have something to study from, because if you leave us at our devices, we'll be who knows doing what. So I'm grateful, and just to see what was happening here tonight, listen to some of the people in the process of sharing, it's hope. I hope that's what this is all about. When I can talk really fast. When I initially walked in the door, I seen this sea of peoples. One thing that came to mind to me was, I'm really hoping every last one of us in this little dinosaur set left some room for someone who is not as privileged as we to be in this room, so they can see what recovery is really, really all about. You guys do a great job at doing exactly what you're doing. It is always good for me to come in places and connect some nameless faces that I didn't seen for years around here. My sobriety date is January 25th, 2002. God seemed so necessary. He seemed it to be so necessary to take me away from what I was doing. And one of the things that he gave me immediately was to learn to be pliable. I immediately got with a sponsor. I immediately got with a guy to say, I'm going to teach you the 12 steps of Cocaine Anonymous. I'm going to teach you the 12 traditions of Cocaine Anonymous. And we're going to get this thing to cranking. So I'm so grateful for sponsorship. Listen, if you guys ever traveling in near Peoria, Illinois, the greatest little meeting in town is the other 90% meeting of Cocaine Anonymous. It's held on Tuesday night at 6:30 at 3127 Avalon. Be sure if you get into the town and you're not so sure where you're going, say, do anybody know Lily and Chris? I'm guarantee you they'll send you home. Well, if you say Lily, it might run you out. But nevertheless, I'm just so grateful. I'm so honored. Let's party this weekend, everybody.